Thank you for joining us today for the Oakwood Baptist Church podcast. This episode was recorded at the Home Builder Sunday School class, which Pastor Jones teaches at Oakwood. The lessons are taken from the book, Changed into His Image, by Jim Berg.
Philippians chapter 4. We're talking about different ways to apply sanctification in our life. And so today I want to talk to you about dealing with worry. Look at Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Now that word careful there in the King James, we would describe it this way. Be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. That's the way we would say it today. Anxious is kind of our buzzword for us. Maybe you could say this. Don't worry about things. Don't you love it when you're worried about something, somebody looks at you and just goes, don't worry about it. Right? That's fine. It's easy for them to say, right? But it's not always easy for us to apply and practice. But that is what the Bible's saying. Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, that's moral excellence, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. So I want to again talk to you about worrying today. The Bible gives us some great insight here. All of us worry. There's no doubt about it. Everybody in this room worries from time to time. The difference is some of us in this room are chronic worriers. We can maybe use the expression worry warts. Some of us just kind of have that disposition where we just excessively worry about things and it becomes a difficult habit in our life. And we live in a world that kind of fuels that, right? I mean, if you have a tendency to worry, man, you get on social media. I was thinking maybe it's social media feeds that, but how many remember it? I'm sure these things are still out there, but I remember when I was a kid, you had things like 2020. Remember that news show, 2020? I felt like when I was a kid, if you watched that, man, I mean, you were afraid you were going to catch every disease. You couldn't eat anything because this is going to kill you. I mean, somebody's going to steal from you. You don't go out of your house because somebody's going to murder you. I mean, like every news story they told, it was just like just playing on the fears of people. And maybe that is what sold newspapers and got viewers to watch. And today we would call it clickbait. Whatever is the case, that's something like it fuels the worrying in people that have a propensity to worry. Now, again, maybe you're in here and you're kind of the opposite and you just don't have that disposition at all and you don't worry about anything. And, you know, that has its problems, too, right? I mean, like, yeah. You got bills to pay. Don't worry about it. You know, like the house is falling down. Who cares? Don't worry about it. Like, I mean, like, we can't have that disposition, but some of you, again, you swing to the extreme on the other side. Now, you can learn to loosen the stranglehold of worry by learning the reasons why you are worrying. And that's what we want to talk about today. Now, God, think about this. God, on some level, has addressed every possible problem in the Word. You say, how do you know that? Well, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says that. It says, according to his divine power hath he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So the Bible, while it doesn't address every specific subject, I mean, the Bible would be way too big for you to carry around, it does give principles for every single issue that you could imagine that you have a tendency to worry about. Now, one of our greatest problems here is that we don't know much about God. That's our issue. Remember, the Bible is the revelation of God to man. That's a revelation of himself to mankind. And God is teaching us in his word, basically, about these issues, but more importantly, about himself. And really, that's the key. So the key is to learn about him. And what does the Bible say? It says that we're supposed to meditate on the Word of God. We're supposed to meditate about Him, right? And so a lot of times we think of like somebody in a lotus position clearing their mind and or something like that when we think of meditation. Now, hopefully you understand that the Bible's form of meditation is not Eastern transcendentalism. It's nothing like that. It's rather than instead of emptying your mind and clearing your mind, it's filling your mind, right? And it's filling your mind with the appropriate things. And think about it, when you worry, you're kind of doing the opposite. You're still meditating, you're just kind of doing the opposite, aren't you? When the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly and so on, but he says, but he meditates on God's word day and night. What is he talking about? Meditation is filling your mind with truths and turning them over in your mind in every possible angle. That's what meditation on God's word is. So if you're reading that, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests be known. If you're filling your mind with that, you're thinking in every possible angle in which that applies to you. Think about what you're doing when you're worrying. You're doing the same thing. You're just applying all of these negative things and you're turning it and, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if they do this? And what if that? And you're just kind of going on and you're just doing it in a negative approach. Well, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to think about God. We're to think thoughts of God. Think thoughts of His Word. In fact, in the book of Psalms, I know there's some debate. They don't know exactly what that word Selah or Selah means. But most people come to the conclusion that it means think about it. And so there's this pause in the psalm or the song where some great truth has been given about God. And it's like, hey, let's pause right here and let's think about that for a moment. Let's think about Him for a moment. And you know, here at our church, in some ways I keep the services moving. You know, I would rather you feel like you're getting a drink out of a water hose or a fire hose than you do feel like lagging and dragging, right? But what that does, the negative of that is sometimes, think about in Israelite worship, they would sing and then have this pause and say, like, now you think about that for a minute. And you think about Him for a minute. And we need to make sure that we're doing that in our life. So here's a couple questions that I'd like to answer. The question is, why do we worry? Why do we worry? And I want to give you some reasons. Number one, we worry because we have the wrong concerns and priorities. We worry because we have the wrong concerns and priorities. You know, the things that worry you are the things that are most important to you. I mean, that's why you're worried about them. I mean, when you say, I don't worry about it, it's not that important to you. That somebody looks at you and your concerns and says, don't worry about it. Why? Because it's not a priority to them. But you're worrying about it because it is a priority to you. It's important to you. See, our anxieties, our fears, our worries reveal our priorities. And so that's a great lesson to learn, right? Because if I can examine my my fears and my anxieties, I'm also examining my priorities. I'm figuring out what's important to me. So here's the question on that. Are the things that I worry about priorities to God? Because the truth of the matter is a lot of the things that we worry about, they're not priorities to God. And so that shows us that maybe we're a little out of whack on our priorities. I mean, think about it. And maybe this is silly, but it's indicative and it's kind of illustrating what I'm trying to show here. If you're obsessing over what should I wear, what should I wear, what should I wear, and you're just obsessing, what should I wear, what should I wear, what do you think that that's indicating to you? It's indicating that your priority is, how are other people going to accept me? How are other people going to see me? How are other people going to think of me? You see, it's revealing a priority in your life by examining what you're worried about. Here's another one. I mean, if you're just worried about your finances, I'm not saying you shouldn't have any concern about it, but if you're having some kind of obsessive worry about your finances, I mean, could it show that maybe you're not, your spending habits aren't what they ought to be? And again, I know that those, we can get into budgeting and debt and all of that kind of stuff. Those are lessons and things that the Bible speaks about. But again, I mean, it's revealing something when you consider what's going on there. So that's my first statement. We worry because we have the wrong concerns and priorities. Number two, we worry because we handle our legitimate concerns the wrong way. A lot of times what you're worried about is a legitimate concern. You might be able to check the box that we just checked on that first statement. But are you handling it the right way? Because a lot of times our worries are we are worried about legitimate things, but we're handling them the wrong way. You know, here, let me unpack that for a second. Many times, people take something that is legitimate and then they abuse it. For example, should it be a concern to you that a loved one is sick? Sure. I mean, that's a legitimate concern. Do you think that God would be concerned about the health and well-being of somebody else? Sure, he would be. But what I've seen as somebody is like, you know, okay, so grandpa is sick, and I'm not trying to be insensitive, but because of that, somebody, I mean, they missed church for like 4 months. I mean, you're handling something that's legitimate, you're handling it the wrong way. Because what I've noticed about that, and again, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I've noticed you can go everywhere else. You can go everywhere else. But because grandpa's sick, you can't go to church. Does that make sense to you? And by the way, social media, it reveals a lot. Because we know where you are. We saw you at the football game. We saw you going shopping. We saw you at the beach. We saw you. And isn't grandpa sick? I know I'm meddling now. But I'm just saying it's a legitimate concern being handled a wrong way. You know, there can be legitimate worries in life, but we have to handle them God's way. There's a Bible way to handle any concern that is a concern to God. See, the problem is that we're so unfamiliar with the Bible that we don't always know what God said. Now, listen, I understand. I don't have the Bible memorized. I know that. So I'm not expecting you to know the Bible in some kind of unusual way, but I hope that you're growing in your faith, that you are learning more and more and more. You're learning more and more principles that you can live by. That's why when the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, you know this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and lean not unto your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When the Bible is telling us that, I love that little phrase, lean not unto your own understanding. That's the problem. We often lean to our own understanding, and that's when we excessively and repeatedly worry. Okay? Here's the third statement. We worry because we depend upon the wrong person. We worry because we depend upon the wrong person. Again, the one we turn to when we have a problem is the one we trust the most to help us. This is a couples class. I hope that you turn to your spouse often. I hope so. I mean, Mindy is the one that, I complain to. I express my worries and fears to. Share my joys with. That I seek the most counsel from. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And I hope that as a spouse, that's the relationship you have. Listen, that doesn't mean that we don't have other friends and other confidants and other counselors and other people to share with. But yeah, that's the go-to. And I hope that that's the case in your relationship as well. But if you call a certain friend every day to rehash your problem, and by the way, isn't it nice sometimes to have somebody that only, if nothing else, just has a listening ear? I mean, there's a blessing to that, right? I mean, like, sometimes just to think a thing through. I mean, how many are like me, you think out loud? Yeah, I mean, that's the way I parse through problems, you know? And so you just kind of think out loud, and it's good to be able to bounce something off somebody like that. I get all of that. But listen, we've got to be careful that we don't allow even a spouse or a really close friend to be that dependent that we go to for relief exclusively. I mean, again, it's great to have somebody in the flesh that is your confidant and your friend, but are you running to the Lord? I mean, we got to ask that question. Here's some of you, maybe you don't run to somebody like that, but you keep things to yourself and you just ruminate all in your own thoughts, and you're constantly repeating them in your mind. See, that's indicative too. If you're always running to somebody over here, you're realizing that my trust and dependence is on that person. And that's why some people fall apart when they don't have that relationship anymore, whether by death or separation, or sometimes it's maybe a spiritual guide. I mean, I've seen people do this. Listen, I'm glad if I can be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual life. But I don't want your spiritual life to unravel if you don't have some pastor or some leader or some influence in your life. That's not the way things should be. The Bible's clear about that. But some people trust on this person. But think about it. If you don't run to people, but you just up in here all the time, you know what you're showing is you're showing that you're dependent upon yourself to get it done. I mean, that's a good indicator there. Now, if you discuss your concerns with God and seek His thoughts about your concerns, what you're revealing is you believe He's the solution to your problem. Now, again, I know God sometimes answers these things through other people, but is that where we're turning to first? Is that where we're turning to primarily? That's a big key. He has the solution, and we should be dependent upon Him. So who you talk to most about your problems and who you listen to most for advice, I mean, it reveals something about the way you're examining this. So we got like 10 minutes here. So let's turn back to Philippians 4:6. You got it there. Let's turn our attention to that. I believe this passage is God's plan for handling your worries. So if you memorize verses, remember, memorizing verses isn't just for the little ones. This is a great one to put on your list. This is a fantastic verse to put on your list. All right, let's unpack it. It says, be careful for nothing. So it's telling us, listen, don't excessively worry about things. And by the way, I mean, let's be real. Disobedience to this is a sin. So again, I'm not, we in Christianity kind of have our respectable sins, our acceptable sins. Listen, in some ways, I think we've made worrying an acceptable sin. But if you're an excessive, chronic, habitual worrier, the Bible's telling you you're not supposed to live that way, and to disobey this would be a sin. So how do we deal with this? All right? Step one is pray right. Pray right. Listen, prayer, I don't think, needs to be overcomplicated. Prayer is having a conversation with God. However, there is a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. The Bible tells us, hey, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. And so Jesus said, when you pray, this is how you're supposed to pray. So we've got to pray correctly. Here it gives us some insight. It says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So it's giving us some instruction on how to pray properly. It's not just, oh God, I'm worried about this, and then you just rattle off your complaints and your concerns and your worries to God. Did you notice there that it says, let your, by prayer, prayer there would be in a generic sense, maybe just asking, supplications. These would be the things that you're concerned about. It says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. I think that's the caveat. That's what I really want to hit here. With thanksgiving. We got to remember that God's priority in life is that we be like Christ. And He uses difficulties in our life, that's what you're worrying about, to propel us to that end. So that's what I want to keep in front of you on a constant basis, is that, listen, without the difficulties and the struggles in your life, you're not going to be able to be like Christ. He was a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. And so if you never experienced grief and sorrow in your life, you cannot really have Christ's likeness in your life. And we all want sunshine and rainbows and prosperity theology in a lot of ways. It just doesn't work that way. And again, I'm speaking to a lot of blessed people, and you're looking at a very blessed individual. And we're pampered in a lot of ways. However, when we're worried about something and we're upset about something, we're worried about our kids, we're worried about our bills, we're worried about our health, we're worried about something. Those are legit concerns. But listen, if we just enter into God's presence, start prattling off our worries, we're not doing it right. If we go back to Jesus' model, we start off, hallowed be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what that is? That's praising Him, worshiping Him. We've got to make sure that we're thanking God for what He's done and for who He is. And listen, let's be honest. When we're worrying, we're not in a state typically of thanksgiving. Oh, this is broken. This is wrong. This is not right. Something's lacking. Oh, this has got to be fixed. We're not in a state of thanksgiving. And it's interesting that the Bible is telling us, hey, when you're making your requests, your supplications, when you're asking God, you've got to do it with thanksgiving. See, if we don't have this growth to become like Christ as a priority in our life, we're not going to be thankful for the struggle we're in. Again, let me give you a challenge to you. When was the last time that you did that, that you thanked God for your problems? Because again, the Bible says, count it all joy and you fall into diverse temptations. When you're having tests and trials, you're supposed to count that a good thing. You're supposed to be thankful for that. Now, this will put it in perspective when you're thinking clearly. Hey, listen, sometimes the problems you have, yeah, they're tough, they're bad. But how many of you have ever thought before, you know, I got problems, but I like my problems better than their problems? I've thought that many times. Listen, I've got problems, no joke. But I like my problems sometimes better than others. And see, here's the thing that we do sometimes too, is we look at somebody else's life and we don't really see their problems. So we think, man, I wish I was. Now, you don't necessarily know. So thank the Lord for the problems that you got. And meet with thanksgiving. So two, we got to hurry here. Pray right, but the second one is think right. Think right. Man, most of our problems are going on right up in here. Right? I mean, most of our problems are internal problems. And I just keep saying that again and again. If you change the way you think, change the way you feel, change the way you feel, change the way you live. And it starts right in here. And it's hard. And we hear a lot today in our society, and I think it's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just you got to have the right ideas about it, but we hear a lot about mental health and mental well-being. Well, the Bible, I've said this so many years, the Bible's the greatest psychology manual ever written. I mean, it's unbelievable. In the insights of mankind and his nature and the way he thinks and the way he acts because of the way he thinks and why he should think the way he... Listen, God addressed all of that because God made us. This is the owner's and operating manual for us in a lot of ways. All right, so the verse 8 is giving us an amazing thought test. So when you're laying in bed at night and can't sleep, and you're just worrying and it's just all going around in here, go through the thought test and start asking yourself, okay, I'm supposed to think things that are true. Is what I'm thinking true? This is biblical meditation, by the way. Is what I'm thinking true? Because how many of us have ever thought something in here over and over and over and over again, and it wasn't true? How many of you ever had that before, right? I mean, maybe you don't see it in yourself as much, but you've seen it in your kids before. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. All right? And just, well, hello. That's not true. All right? Some of you are like, well, I don't know. No, it's not true. And we got to think, is it accurate? Is it true to fact? All right, here's the next one. Is it honest? And you say, wait a minute. Honest, true, isn't that the same thing? Well, really, this word honest, if you study its etymology, it kind of has a different aspect. It means this: is it honorable? Is it worthy? How many of you would agree some of the thoughts that pass through here, they're not even worth wasting your time thinking about? A lot of us have thoughts that are not honorable and they're not worthy of thought. And so put it through that test. How about this? Just. Just means, is it right? Is it appropriate? And again, I'm glad that not everything that goes on in all of our craniums is broadcasted for everybody to see, because many of our thoughts are not right and they're not appropriate. How about this? Is it pure? That just, I mean, you understand purity, but we can say this: is it undefiled? Is it lovely? What that means is it pleasing? Is it agreeable? He says, I like this expression. I love this in the Bible, of a good report. That means, is it well-sounded? Is it well-spoken of? Virtue, that's moral excellence. Praise. Is that a thought that could be commended? That's what it's saying. Listen, I promise you, I think that you'll do better if you put your thoughts through this ringer. Like, I know some of us aren't great at journaling or something, but if you're really struggling with this, Why don't you get a piece of paper out, write these words down, write these definitions and say, I keep having this thought, is it true? Is it accurate? Is it honorable? Is it morally excellent? And go through that specific and write it out. I think that that'll help you. See, anxious thoughts, man, if we're having these thoughts of being having self-pity or being bitter or being angry, which bitterness is a form of anger, but you know, again, if you're just, why am I so angry about this? If you're struggling with envy or you're struggling with despair, I mean, all of these emotions can be put through the thought test. All right, I got to stop here, but here's the third step. Do right. Do right. We didn't read verse 9, I don't think, in our reading, but look what he says in verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So listen, a lot of times we spend our time worrying when we should actually be doing what we're supposed to do. And the Bible says, listen, even when you're worrying, you still got to do what you got to do. Right? So what is it you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing and you're spending time worrying? Maybe you should be studying when instead you're worrying. Maybe you should be playing with your kids instead you're worrying. Maybe you should be finishing a project at work. Maybe you should be sleeping at night. Because, I mean, your bed was made for you to go to sleep. All right, so you got to do what you're supposed to do, right? So Proverbs 12:25 says this, heaviness, that's the word we could say worry, in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad, and there's no better word than the word of God. And so you can win the war over worry, but you have to do it God's way, do it by praying right, thinking right, and doing right.